Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You want to know exactly what I see? And that's trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. If Jimbo break it, he up the sideline. Just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman. A harsh critic of himself, was not happy with the season that he had, and definitely made it known that he did, you know, that he wanted to have a better season. And it's refreshing to hear that sort of thing, like the self-reflection. But even then, it's like, man, you don't got to be that mean to yourself in public. There, come on, like it's all right. It wasn't like, yeah, I do think though that Keon Coleman has the opportunity to be better. And I think everyone's excited to see what year two brings for the Bills wide receiver. I think that it's also a good time to do this sort of thing of like kind of take a step back, rewind a little bit, and enjoy what the offseason has been. Who better for me to bring in for this sort of reflective moment than Bruce Nolan, the Bruce Exclusive Podcast, anywhere that you find your podcast, and of course, friend of the show. Most importantly, Bruce, thanks for joining me here. How's it going for you?
It's going great. And I think the most important thing is that you properly prioritize the things about Bruce that matter. And the most important thing, let's be honest, is friends of the show.
Well, I mean, most important thing is dog lover and aficionado.
Obviously,
that.
Yes.
I forgot that.
Clearly.
But, yes, friend of the show, and thank you as always for joining us here, Bruce. It's a quiet time now. For the NFL, for the Bills, and quite frankly, almost for everything. You know, baseball regular season is the thing still going on, but, you know, they have 100-some-odd of those games, and I feel like that's not as easy to feel as heavily invested in. When it comes down to it, though, Bruce, when the off season is here, how do you find your way to, you know, properly recharge and get set for a new year?
For me, I spend a lot of my time in the downtime between mini camps, mandatory mini camps, and training camp, getting caught up and crossing any T's and dotting any I's in regards to the remainder of the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I have been fortunate enough to be able to consume a large amount of football over the course of the year, but there are still specific games or specific players where my knowledge base is lacking. So I take the opportunity during between the space between mini camps and training camps, and I can get caught up on, you know, the Chargers game from week 6, for example, that I didn't catch the first time through and things like that. And so because of that, and because it's a completely different team, it kind of keeps football feeling fresh to you and also provides the context that I think sometimes we go way too deeply down the rabbit hole of a single team and we kind of lose the context about what is normal. Like part of fandom is losing perspective a little bit on the, how do we define these words? You know, what is normal? What is good? What is bad? You know, and we get so kind of tunnel visioned on our own team that sometimes we can lose some of that perspective. So I try to make sure I get it back by making sure that I'm catching up on anything I may have missed during the regular season.
The method to the madness right there, Bruce. I love it.
Absolutely.
So, Bruce, though, when it comes down to it, we haven't talked in quite a while now, actually, but the offseason is it's pretty much been wrapped up in terms of acquisitions, everything like that. And, you know, Elijah Moore gets added right after the draft. We get a couple of players in here, Shaq Thompson being brought in as a nice depth piece, hopefully, at the linebacker core. But overall, who was the favorite addition of yours all throughout the offseason process here?
Oh man, what a great question. I think TJ Sanders is probably that guy for me. If we think about the way that Sanders can have the opportunity to alter this defensive line, I think the conversations that you can have about having him and Ed Oliver line up together on the interior of the pass rush, and you think about some of the things that really impacted the Buffalo Bills over the course of last year defensively, it was third down, it was third and long. And then you think about the additions that they made, whether that's Maxwell Hairston, whether that's Joey Bosa, whether that's TJ Sanders, and you think to yourself, wow, I really think that it was a specific and intentional maneuver on the Buffalo Bills' part to be able to address, not just say, okay, well, defense. Oh, sure, but it's deeper than that. What type of defense is the issue? And so I think that being able to see that and being able to have a combination on the inside that not only helps unlock a little more of what we can see from Ed Oliver when he has a good running mate, but also on his own, being a really impressive and mature pass rusher with good hand usage, along with the physical tools that allow him to be bursty and bendy and things like that. And you think, okay, this guy's got a shot. For me, it's probably TJ Sanders. I think he has a chance to come in and really be impactful right off the bat.
I do think that there is an interesting question to have about this defense after it's off season, and that is the depth of it is going to be very young. Obviously, when you invest so much into a defensive draft class, you are going to have a young defense here. Do you think there might be a little bit of a growing pains for the entirety of the draft class as a whole? Because you mentioned Sanders there. He is probably one of the more highly touted rookies that they've got, their second-round pick. Is there a possible youth that might be a bit of a, how you stub your toe, so to say, the growing pains of going into the NFL?
Yeah, I do think so. And I think that the suspensions that are looming for Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, I think that they add to the complexity of what's going on. Because I think on one hand, you think to yourself, okay, when they get back, you know, are we getting close to hitting rookie walls, right? Which is a real thing that rookies will tell you is a thing in the NFL. Is this a situation where you can avoid the rookie wall by actually pulling back on some of the snaps that you gave to younger players earlier in the year that are then replaced by the additions of Hoyt and Ogunjobi partially the way through the year? Is that a situation that you can manage? And so I think that it is going to be one of the major stories of this year is the fact that, like you said, when you dump draft pick after draft pick after draft pick, what you do is you start to kind of crystallize that depth chart to the point where, you know, it's a lot of young players. They're not a lot of, you know, grizzled vets who are holding up the depth of this team. And now you get the vets who are coming in halfway through the year or six games after the year, and then you have to kind of reshuffle your snap counts and reshuffle your depth chart. And how do these people fall in? I think it's going to be one of the biggest stories of this entire season is just how that all shakes out, who steps forward, how the additions of Hoyt and Ogunjobi halfway through the year matter. I think that's going to be something that provides kind of year-long status updates that you could potentially even go weekly and go, hey, let's just take this, you know, 15-minute segment of whatever my show is for the next 17 weeks and dedicate it to specifically the way that the defensive line depth is shaking out. And I think that's a big part of it.
It is a big part of it, and it was obviously one of the focal points for a lot of us in the offseason was they got to get better on defensive line. They've got to get better at D-tackle. They've got to add a little bit more at the edge. They have to do a lot of things here on that front four because oftentimes in the biggest games, that group has failed the Bills time and again. I do think that I'm overall – satisfied with what has happened here, but then you go and look around the league and go, it could be far worse. You've got Cincinnati, Bruce, that they can't sign an edge rusher to show up to camp to save their lives at this point. And then also, like, we've got Pittsburgh with TJ Watt. What's going to happen there? Turning next year into a very tasty conversation potentially if things aren't wrapped up for a couple of AFC North teams there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we just talked about at the very beginning of the segment, where we talked about keeping perspective on the rest of the league and what is normal. And I think that being able to be kind of ear to the ground on that stuff does change your, I don't want to say appreciation because it makes it sound fluffy, but it changes the way that you consume your own team, because you go, oh, okay, other teams have problems too. You know, maybe their problems might actually be a little worse than mine. And if you look around and you think to yourself, okay, I get it. And I think that part of the situation has been that you're in a Buffalo Bills era that is a Super Bowl contending team with a franchise quarterback and arguably the best quarterback in franchise history. And so the urgency to win a Super Bowl is really strong. But you look around the NFL and you see people. I mean, I have a small human that is currently staying at my house who is a Bengals fan, who's not usually someone who is in my house. And so he and I were having a conversation last night about exactly what you just talked about, how the Bengals just cannot buy an edge rusher right now. You just can't do it. Can't make it happen. And he said, I feel like we're going to miss our window because we cheaped out. And I think to myself, you know, the Bengals are having the same conversations that the Bills are having around Joe Burrow. Hey, we got lucky with Joe Burrow and we got this great quarterback. What are we doing to maximize their window? If you think about your faith in Buffalo Bills ownership to be able to do what's necessary and invest the resources to try and do everything they can to win during this window, and then you look at the Bengals, who are in a very similar situation, do they have the same level of faith in their ownership structure to be able to dedicate the resources necessary to be able to win in their window? And so that's part of that perspective, I think, that really matters.
And that is the perspective, because what was the big thing heading toward minicamp? Obviously, James Cook was not at OTAs, but then he shows up in minicamp, and it's, why'd you show up here? I like my money. Financially, it was irresponsible for him to skip that, so he didn't.
Yeah.
He shows up, not just shows up, though. He's not even a hold-in. He's a full participant, and evaporating one of the biggest potential headaches that we would have been talking about for 6 weeks had he not been there.
Yeah, I like to joke around that it's Ray Davis season, but it's not Ray Davis season.
Not yet.
So it's a running joke for me, because I like Ray Davis as a player. I like his story. It's not Ray Davis season quite yet. And James Cook, I think, is some one of those situations where I think the Bills fans know he's a good player. He knows he's a good player. The Buffalo Bills record when it comes to paying second contracts to running backs is basically non-existent. And so I think that as you think about that and you think about James Cook's likelihood of being on this team in 2026, at some point the narrative turns to, I'm going to play as well as I possibly can, and I'm kind of doing it to spite the team that I'm actually playing for. Like, hey, I'm going to play so well that I'm going to get a big deal from somebody else, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to be a stud, and you're going to wish you would have paid me, right? And quite frankly, I think if you were to get Brandon Bean on a truth serum, he would probably tell you he's okay with that, because that means you got the best version you possibly could out of James Cook during his rookie deal, and specifically in a contract year. And so it's a very mature kind of, I don't want to say ending to the saga, but it's a very mature conclusion to that section of the offseason where it's, hey, we like you. We're probably not going to sign you to a long-term extension that gives you the money that you want to. But you know what? Go ahead and stick it to me. That's fine. Play your heart out. Get a great deal somewhere else. Prove me wrong, and we're cool with that. We're rooting for you. And I think it's kind of a mature way to approach that situation for both sides. And I'm glad that part of this conversation is kind of concluded now.
Yeah, and also there's the fact of, you're running back one on one of the best offenses in the National Football League. There's going to be opportunity for you to possibly even raise that cap figure into free agency and make people make you think that you're more desirable, raise the price even more than that $15 million you're asking for. And I do think that James Cook overall, Bruce, when it came down to that whole process, there was nothing like attacking the team or really anything like that. It did seem like, you mentioned the word mature, it was also a mature way of going about it. all he was doing was saying more money would be cool. And that was it. Like, there was no bashing of the team. There was no anything like that. Also, it helps that James Cook is a more like subdued personality. So that was like an outburst like that would be uncharacteristic. So that also does help in his instance. But I thought it was a very calm, mature way to go about it. And basically, a lot of people will side with him because all it is, yeah, more money would be nice. I'm good at my job. And that's something everyone can relate to.
It really is. I mean, see, think about the narrative coming out of the Cook camp is, hey, I'm a really good running back. I want to make really, really, really good running back salary. Like, that's the narrative. I mean, how do you argue with that? You know, it's an extremely defensible argument. You're like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, that's a completely separate and completely standalone defensible argument versus the should we pay you that money if you're the team. So those are two separate discussions, but nobody thought about James Cook to a significant degree. Hey, dude, listen, man, not only you're not worth 15, we wouldn't even pay you $5. Like, nobody thought that. Some of these players, you get out there and you think to yourself, hey, good on you for having that confidence, but that's insane. Like, some of these times you see this player, it's like a third string wide receiver for a team that, you know, runs the ball 60% of the time. It's like, man, I'm the best wide receiver in football. And you're like, okay, cool. Good for your confidence. Also, that's insane. Like, that didn't happen with James Cook. He's like, hey, I'm a really good running back. I want really good running back money. Like, everyone's like, okay, cool. That's also a separate discussion from whether or not I want my team to pay you that really good running back money in a limited resource environment. And so I think that what it does is it stops that from being animosity. That's really what it does. Either from the team, from his teammates, from the fans, there doesn't end up being a lot of animosity because the messaging isn't accusatory. It's not tonally what you're seeing from Trey Hendrickson when he shows up to off-season OTAs just to give a press conference to bash the team. Like, that's not the conversation. He specifically says, hey, you know, hey, coach is great, just so you know. Front office is terrible, and I'm disrespected, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, that's not what happened here. And so because of that, it allows you to kind of say water under the bridge. It allows you to not have that animosity when he does show up and participates fully. And basically, I don't want to say we can forget about it, but we can kind of kick the can down the road until the end of the year when James Cook's scheduled to be a free agent, and then all of the articles and spots can pop up with, should you pay James Cook all again? And that's what people want. What people want is they want to focus on that stuff when it's time to focus on that stuff. And for fans, that's in the offseason.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, it is officially next year's problem, and I'm perfectly happy with that. Bruce, I just hope that everybody is ready for the 2026 mock drafts where everybody puts a Bills running back there.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of gird myself for that. I'm not ready yet. I'm going to be taking the George Costanza focus into – I'm going to kind of pull that meme out of my you know, dusty old files, and I'm going to say, I have a plan for what to do about running back. And Jerry's going to go, well, what's the plan about? He says, we're going to do nothing. He's nothing? Nothing. Everyone's doing something. We're doing nothing. So we go to the GM. We say, I have a running back acquisition strategy. It's about nothing. Exactly. I think you're onto something here. Like, that's going to be the meme, because that's going to be what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, hey, take Ty Johnson and Ray Davis into 2026, you know, draft an draft a seventh rounder or pick up an undrafted free agent and call it a day. That's going to be my status. I can already tell you that's going to be what it's going to be for 2026.
Yeah, it is one of these things, though, Bruce, where we never know what is going to happen throughout the course of a season. Heck, maybe the Bills do find, like, their heart grows three sizes that day, and they give James Cook money that no one is ready for, expects. Maybe the cap is up enough where they do find a way to cook the books to make it all happen. We never know what is truly going to happen in these sorts of things. I'm just bracing for the Bills running back mock draft round one offseason all over again, because a couple years ago that was really fun when all the ESPN talking heads were like, they should do this at running back. They should do this at running back. And it's like, guys, we're fine. Everything's fine. We're okay. It was James Cook was starting to pop off, actually, oddly enough. And here we are talking about James Cook again with this sort of scenario. Bruce, when it comes down to it, with this offseason, there was also another underlying theme through both the draft and through free agency. And I am starting to wonder about something. Is too much of a good thing not a good thing? And I talk about cornerback. They went and rehauled everything not named Christian Benford and Cam Lewis and Taron Johnson. They went ahead and just added everyone that they could. Old faces like Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White. New faces like Max Hairston, Dorian Strong, Jordan Hancock. Everything that they could have done, pretty much at corner, they did. And I'm starting to wonder, is it going to be too crowded of a room where we do get a surprise or two in the cut day heading out of training camp?
I think you are going to get a surprise or two, and I don't necessarily know if there's going to be enough people who are emotionally ready for the fact that it might be Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a conversation where, if you think about the timing of the Tre'Davious White signing as a hedge against the acquisition of specific cornerbacks in the draft, hey, you know what? We talk about these things going into the draft. We say things like, Brandon Bean doesn't want to go into the draft with holes, and so he wants to make sure he can take the best play available, so he patches those things in free agency. We say that, but then the inverse of that is, if you do that, then that means you're going to have superfluous numbers at specific positions. So that's the downside of that strategy, right? When I say downside, I don't actually think there's a meaningful downside. I think that we're just not ready for it. The idea that you sign Dane Jackson, you sign Tre'Davious White in the event you're not able to get corners in the draft, and you get multiple corners in the draft, that means that those people that you signed to plug holes might not still be on the roster when September comes around. And so I think that there's conversations to be had there, that not necessarily too much of a good thing is not a good thing, but really that the strategy pre-draft impacts those cut-down decisions in a way that sometimes people aren't prepared for.
There we go. Bruce, I've got a couple of burning questions. They're basically the same topic, but they're kind of the thing that I want to think about, and I think it's fun to think about in this sense. Who are the breakout candidates you expect from the Bills this year, and who actually needs to be the breakout candidate for the Bills this year?
I think I expect Dalton Kincaid. I think need, truthfully, I think it might be a Gregory Rousseau or a Cole Bishop conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, Gregory Rousseau, you can make an argument, already broke out. Like, he's a really good player. But I think that one of the things that has changed for Rousseau is, after you sign that deal, you're expected to be, hey, you know, a high-end DE2, maybe a low-end DE1, and getting yourself into the conversation of, you know, he's a top 12, top 15 pass rusher in the NFL, I think is important. So I think that that's, when I say a need, I mean a need because of the things we talked about from the defensive line standpoint, needing to get pass rush and needing to get off the field on third and long, and I think that's a big part of it. For Cole Bishop, it's a need because, hey man, they invested a second round pick in you. I know you got off-season injury last year that kind of impacted your ability to have the conversation about maybe being a starter, but you know, they didn't add any meaningful safeties this off-season. And that was one of the conversations leading up to the draft, yeah. Was, you know, this is a pretty good safety class. You know, for a while there it was like, hey, is Malachi Starks going to be a Bill, right? That was a conversation. Nick Emmanuel was a conversation, and they didn't add any meaningful safety work this offseason. Hey, they believe that you can go do that, and that means you need to do that. When it comes to expectations, I do think we're lower on Dalton Kincaid than we probably should be. Now, I'm not saying that the level of, hey, he's going to catch 110 passes, some of the stuff from last year was not too high. It probably was. But a deeper look into some of the struggles of Dalton Kincaid's profile really unveil a couple things that we probably don't want to deal with when it comes to catchable target rate. And Josh Allen, fortunately, in a very Keon Coleman-ish moment, was particularly harsh on himself and said, I need to be better for Dalton Kincaid. And I'm glad he said it, because now I don't have to be a bad guy when I say it, because Josh Allen just didn't throw him good balls last year. It's just, yep, that's the way it works. You know, Dalton Kincaid in a lot of metrics was at the bottom, or really at the bottom, as far as catchable target rate. And they were using him in an area of the field, specifically much more vertically, which everybody said they wanted. So like when Ken Dorsey takes over and becomes the Dalton Kincaid steward, then he's using Dalton Kincaid in these kind of flare outs and chip and run. And they were all like, oh man, you should use Dalton Kincaid down the field. And then they use Dalton Kincaid down the field, and Josh Allen doesn't throw him good balls down the field. And then we all go, why does Dalton Kincaid suck? So we were thrilled about the number of receptions that he got when he was being used as a check down guy. But then we were all complaining that he needs to be used down the field. He gets used down the field. Josh Allen doesn't throw him good balls. And now we all think he stinks. It's just an interesting dynamic on the way that we view Dalton Kincaid this year versus the way we viewed him last year when, yeah, the injury was part of it, but also, he's getting open and he's not getting good balls. I think there's a reason why people who are particularly fond of advanced analytics and people who are film guys are both telling you, guys, I think we're maybe too low on Dalton Kincaid. There's a reason for that, and I think it's because he's a good player who truthfully needed to just have a better hand of luck been given to him a little bit last year and get a little bit better play from his quarterback, specifically when he's targeting him.
Bruce Nolan on the Wester Hotline here with his podcast, The Bruce Exclusives. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Always a good show, always a good time. Bruce, the other thing about this when it comes to the breakout, the expectation, that sort of thing, I do have an interesting and a little bit of an uncanny answer here myself. The player I expect to break out, honestly, is Elijah Moore. I think that was a very smart signing for both player and team. And for Moore and his camp, I think it's one of those interesting moments where you might get that John Brown kind of bump from a player like this year, where he can then either test free agency and get a very nice contract out of it, or a little bit of an extension from the Bills themselves. Because this is a guy who, you mentioned the advanced analytics and the uncatchable target rate in Cleveland, that was abysmal, the amount of uncatchable balls the man had, and he still reeled in 60-plus catches last year.
Yeah, and Elijah Moore profiles as that type of player that, you know, Josh Allen really had good chemistry with in, you know, 2020 when he broke out, and the conversation was that Josh Allen, kind of a see-it-and-throw-it sort of quarterback, and so when you get him players like John Brown, Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, you get that elite-level production from him because you can get the separation with your feet, and you can have some, you know, some ability to utilize Josh Allen's arm talent late in the play because you can see it get open because he's got a howitzer, he can pull it off. And so it is, I don't want to say it's a throwback stylistically, but it is kind of a throwback stylistically to 2020, 2021, before you decided you were going to invest first round pick in Dalton Kincaid and go 12 personnel. You decided, okay, I'm going to invest a high second round pick in Keon Coleman. So stylistically, the types of bodies you added to the offense changed. And this Elijah Moore signing is a little bit of a throwback to the John Browns, Stephon Diggs, and the Cole Beasleys. Not that he's going to have that level of production, but stylistically, he's a separator. That's what he does. And so it doesn't surprise me to see that he's been doing really well. I think the key is going to be when the pads come on, what does he do? And then, does he contribute enough from a blocking standpoint that he can weasel his way onto the field with two wide receiver sets? I think that's going to be where my eyes start to open about a potential Elijah Moore breakout, is when I start to see two wide receiver sets that include him.
Bruce, I appreciate you taking the time here. And the last question I have, this is the one that I kind of floated a little bit on social media to have some fun with here, and it is this. I think I know your answer. I've talked to you enough that I have a sense I know what you're about on this question. Would you be okay with avoiding the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl, or are you vindictive, vengeful, and petty like me?
I'm completely fine avoiding the Chiefs to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs have the worst year in a while. They don't even make the playoffs, and the Bills win the Super Bowl, and there's a Chiefs fan out there who says, well, you know, if we would have gotten there, I would just say, well, you didn't get there. So I don't feel anything at that point. For me, trophy's a trophy, man. Mm-hmm. If something, you know, suboptimal comes across the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills coast their way to a Super Bowl because the Eagles end up having meaningful issues with their offensive line, which is a huge strength of their team, and the Chiefs suffer things that shouldn't happen to them, and the Bills end up beating, I don't know, the Rams in the Super Bowl, and everyone goes, well, you know, it was kind of fluke here. I'm sorry, man. The trophy still looks the same to me.
Yep.
So I'm good.
I think I'm starting to kind of go that way now, too, mostly because, I mean, I don't think there's many complaints from Pittsburgh fans when they avoided New England to win their Super Bowl. So yeah. I think I'm starting to get there, Bruce. I used to be like that, where, like, I needed that blood. I needed to draw blood from KC in order to get there, mostly to vanquish the demon. Nope. I'm okay also with playing tag with the demon and avoiding him like a pro.
Yes, play. I like playing tag. That's good.
That is good. Bruce, I hope you stay cool out there. Obviously, next week is going to be a little brutal with some humidity. So try to stay cool, keep your head down, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Sounds good, sir.
That's Bruce Nolan, the Bruce Exclusive, anywhere you find your podcasts. And, of course, as I'd mentioned at the start there, big friend of the program here on Sports Talk Saturday. We come back, we do what we do, and you know what we do at the 11:50 segment. That's the Booty Cheek of the Week. That's coming up next.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.